Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast right here in Panama City, Florida, Highland Park Baptist Church with Pastor Stephen Kyle on this Monday after Sunday.
Monday after Sunday.
Yeah, that's how it usually works.
That's usually how
it works during the week. But, man, it's winding down the summertime.
Yeah.
Camps are done. We're looking at school things. Summer went by quick.
It did.
And it's still hot, but, you know.
Oh, it's so hot.
Summer went by fast.
It is so hot. My wife was even, my son, he's starting to see the summer come to an end, right? And so she called me right before we walked in here and said, hey, Reed wants to have a game night at the house tonight and invite some of his friends over. You know, I was thinking maybe you could grill, and I'm like, oh, could I not go? I mean, I'll go get party platters from Chick-fil-A, or, you know, can we not do anything else? I'm like, man, the way our house is oriented, that the back porch and the back, dude, that catches that afternoon sun.
It's hot.
About 6:30 here in Panama City, dude, and I can't even imagine the heat coming off that grill.
Yeah.
Now, if you want me to grill for you in July, I grill for you at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Move the grill.
Well, I have to take it all the way around to the front of the house. I don't want to do that. Why not go to get Chick-fil-A?
Look,
they ain't my kids. Tell them to bring a lunch.
Put it under like an umbrella by the pool. Just stand there by the pool with an umbrella and just, you know.
Whatever.
That's
why pizza was invented. That's right. Pizza. 100%. Dude, you could get that that one. They sell like $5. Excuse me, $5.
I think they moved up the price. I think it's like $7 now.
Where it's got the guy's face?
Yeah, Little Caesars?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The other one that's just for Panama City. I don't think we're supposed to be saying names of businesses. But anyway, we'll talk about it later.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I noticed you wore a pink shirt today.
Okay, look.
And this is, okay, It has been probably 3 years since I wore a pink shirt. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even realize it. I'd even talked to you a few times. And I'm walking down the office hallway, and our minister of middle school, Ty, said, oh, dude, you got on a pink shirt. I said, yeah. He goes, Ryan's got one on too. He's going to hate it.
Yeah, I don't like to match. I almost went home this morning to change, but I didn't. I should have, now that you mentioned it.
That's all right.
With all the people in the world that watch this thing, I don't like that. Like, I have gone home. Like, I've matched Robbie before in the office. I went home and changed.
Well, that's just a disappointment right there. I mean, that if you matching up Rob.
The same, like, church t-shirt
okay.
on.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't call Rob a stalwart of attire.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I mean, he's good in a lot of things, but I don't sit there and say, man, I think I'm going, whatever, Rob, that's what I want. What's going to happen is somebody at our late night, 11 o'clock Sunday night ABC regional broadcast, they're going to be flipping through channels, and they're going to see two bald, bearded guys with pink shirts on, and they're not going to have the volume turned up, and they're like, I don't think so, and they're just going to keep going.
Oh.
You know, it's true, Journey.
I offered to change, man. Anyway.
Journey's like, I don't think we can talk about that.
Yeah. Well.
Let the record show, I don't even own a pink shirt.
You will. I'm gonna get your wife to come up with a men's line in her clothing store.
It's not what you wear, it's how you wear it.
That's true. I would agree.
You know, it's like we're confident in our pink.
Oh, I'm confident. Dude. I'm confident in a lot of things. Oh. I really don't
Every day. This is every day in the office here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We love Jesus and we make fun of each other.
Hey, we do love Jesus. And
right.
That's why we do what we do. We just like to have a little bit of fun before we get going. My wife will listen to it, and she goes, I just don't like the first part where y'all just sitting around talking.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, well, that's just kind of the personality, because really the way we built this program was just two guys sitting around having a conversation.
I don't like this first part. Sorry, J. Kyle.
And well, she's not listening. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody had to tell her.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, more important stuff. Yeah. We're here to talk about the unchangeable truth of the Word of God, and you know, whether you got pink shirts on or not, the gospel's the same to all. So, for anyone we've offended, we apologize.
Goodness,
if you find it offensive, we would much rather it be the truth of Scripture that offends than our personal viewpoints. But we are very opinionated around here. To say the least.
Whew, Daniel chapter 3. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, man. I was looking forward to you talking about this particular story, because there's so much in it, man. There's a lot of meat. There's a lot of truth. Just a lot of moments just to take away, just the way these guys. And I know you're, you know, as you've gone through the book of Daniel, you've been setting up, you know, the habits of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've been setting up the habits of Daniel, just how they live, the things that they do, and this is kind of that continuation of just, you know, how faithful these guys were to the Word of God, and faithful they were to being obedient to God. It's good, man. It's just my favorite story.
It's like we said last week. Originally, when I laid this out, I was going to spend just 1 week in chapter 3, and then the way everything worked and we were observing the Lord's Supper here, you know, we'll take the first 12 verses and we'll just kind of focus on that. And then we'll pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
And even point number one was very, very minimal in discussion, because we'd already talked about it last week. And, it's funny. I even said when I started the sermon, hey, I can remember years ago, there, you know, a couple of guys that I think of as heroes of faith, and, Dr. Jerry Vines, one of them. I can remember watching him preach and you know, textbooks on preaching and all the things of Dr. Vines. You know, he was there at First Baptist Jacksonville for years. He and Homer Lindsay, and I can remember it was one of his sermon books, and he had three different sermons right here. And that's kind of the outline that I borrowed, even though I didn't preach a sermon. I mean, you can never do Vines justice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sure wasn't going to preach three of them. And so they would not bow, they would not bend, and they would not burn. So after church yesterday, I'm eating. Jennifer and I are eating with our family, and Dr. Johnny Hunt and his wife are there, and they're eating lunch with us as well. And so let me see here. I was going to look this up. We start texting with Dr. Vines, and I said, Dr. Vines, my sermon outline today from Daniel 3, number one, they wouldn't bow, number two, they wouldn't bend, number three, they wouldn't burn. And he said, wow, that is original. May I use it? Yeah. And then Dr. Hunt said, Dr. Vines, he preached it great. I closed my eyes and I thought it was Dr. Vines preaching. And then I said, I chat GPT'd it and it gave it to me. And anyway, I said, I actually gave you credit. I said, the outline is Dr. Vines, but the rest is mine. Point four was mine. So what?
Yeah.
And Dr. Vines said, well, that point is what it's all about. So what? And he said, and then now what?
Ooh. Ooh.
So what? Now what? So I'm gonna have to borrow that one from Dr. Vines.
Yeah.
So
good.
What? Now what?
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to have guys that you really, really just admired, and you, again, just great pulpiteers, you know, to be able to reach out and just say, man, I appreciate you, and took something was yours. And I remember a couple of years ago going into his house there and walking into his office, and then off the office he has this little room and all of his sermon notebooks down through, I don't know how many years of preaching. And at the time I was in John, and I pulled out John and I just start flipping through it. And I'm like, could I borrow this for a little while? And he's like, well, Steve, you're welcome
Steve,
you're welcome to use anything I've got.
Well, but you've kind of adapted that philosophy. Like, I know there's been a couple of times, like, I've gone in your office and, like, hey, can I pull something from your sermon records? And you just let me take it.
So. Yeah, yeah. Big difference between Stephen Kyle and Jerry Vines.
But I mean, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, I would. I would.
You know. Yeah. It's cool to be able to, you know.
Share things. Well,
like,
I mean, again, you go back to, I think Vines is the one who originally said this. If it's new, it's not true. Yeah. And if it's true, it's not new. Yeah. And so I even said yesterday, I'm going to use his outline. I'm not going to use his sermons. But the reality is I may say something that I heard him preach that I forgot I heard him preach it. And so we are blessed. But, yeah, just a very simple outline. I think anybody could have walked out of here yesterday and like, oh, yeah, hey, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Boom.
So in talking about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, you know, that's the story, you know, talking about how the fact that they wouldn't bend whenever King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, hey, bow down to my idol. You know, in this, you talk about how they just, their faith was genuine, right? But then you kind of alluded to, you know, we need to be careful of some of this faulty faith out there. There is this faith that is false. Can you kind of expound on what you mean by faulty faith for our listeners? Yeah. I know that's probably could take up the rest of our time, but maybe quickly.
Well, and I'll say this before I talk about faulty faith. What are the things that prevent us from worship?
Mm.
I dare say, I mean, it's usually something like, well, yeah. It's pouring down rain today. Or,
yeah.
You know, I got a better offer, or boy, I could just sleep in. Or, I mean, very few of us have been like, boy, if we worship, we're going to be thrown into fire.
Yeah.
and yet we talk about the things that we have to suffer and deal with.
Yeah.
The faulty faith, genuine faith says, I exist for God. God doesn't exist for me.
Yeah.
And the reason I've been given life and breath is to bring glory and honor to his name. And a faulty faith, there are many different ones, but it usually goes something like this. God, if you'll do this, then I'll worship and serve you.
Mm.
If you'll grant me this,
yeah.
I'll worship and serve you. You know, a lot of folks treat God, and this is a statement that I make all the time, like a genie in a bottle, right? You know, oh, hey, God, I want to know you. I want to know you now that you're here. Let me tell you all the stuff I need.
I think yesterday you said heavenly puppet.
A heavenly puppet, yeah. Your prayer's the string that you pull. That sounds like a Vineism right there. it may have been, but yeah. And a lot of folks treat it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it almost would have been like, hey, God, you get us out of this fire.
Yeah.
Then, buddy, we're going to serve you all of our days.
Yeah.
And I gave some illustrations of, you know, things that I've dealt with over the years of people that, if God does this, then I'm going to praise his name. And, you know, and very lovingly, you try to say, well, why don't you go ahead and just praise his name no matter what he does?
Yeah.
Because he is still worthy of your praise. I'll serve him if he'll do this. Well, how about you go ahead and serve him because he's worthy of your service?
Yeah.
And we want to put these conditions, and that to me, that's not genuine faith, because now what we have done is we have taken faith and we're like, well, if you can just let me see this. What is the opposite of faith? It's sight.
Yeah.
Faith is believing in things you do not see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God, if you'll let me see this, then I will do this.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, folks, you know, if Alabama wins a football game today, then I'm going to go to church tomorrow. Or, Lord, I'll give up drinking.
Journey, you ever said that? You're going to go to church if Alabama wins?
That's a negative.
Yeah, okay. He wouldn't be here a lot. You know, he would have missed a lot last season. So see, Journey is already predetermined. He is going to be a part of worship no matter what the football team does.
That's right.
And God knew what he was doing when he, you know, allowed me to start worshiping a team that wasn't very good. So did I say worshiping? A team? I didn't mean worshiping. See, that's faulty.
There you go. There you go.
I didn't mean worshiping. I mean rooting for
there you go.
A team that wasn't worth it. But anyway, the conditions. I'm going to place conditions, and that is a faulty faith.
Yeah.
These guys don't do this. These guys make a statement that probably I don't These are daring words that very few men have ever used, but if not.
So good, though.
But if not.
So good.
We know you're able.
Yep.
And we know you can.
Yeah.
But even if you don't, we're still going to serve you.
Yeah.
Goodness. Mercy Me had a song, Even If. You need to listen to it sometime. Even if you don't, my hope is in you alone, no matter what. And so what happens is, you know, we've talked a little bit in the context series about this word of faith movement where folks will come along and say, okay, God has made promises, and in order for you to unlock those promises, you just need to speak the promises, and that will cause it to happen. Again, I go back to God is not, he is not performing at our whim.
Yeah.
God can. They even said, we believe he will.
Yeah.
But then they throw in this, but if he doesn't,
yeah.
basically saying, you know, God's going to do whatever God wants to do.
Yeah.
And that's okay because he's God. And we're going to worship him no matter what. And, you know, at the beginning, a little subtle smack going on.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't have to answer you, King.
Yeah.
We don't have to tell you anything, but we will.
Yeah.
I
just remember reading that story a long time ago. I say long time ago. I don't remember when it was, but several years ago. And just, you know, it's one of those things you hear growing up in church, you know, especially if you've gone to church as a kid, like you hear these stories. You probably heard preachers talk, but whenever I laid eyes on that scripture for the first time myself, it felt like those words radically changed my view of just the goodness and the strength and the power of who God, like that one, like, even if we're never going to stop worship, like, and the confidence they had in what God could do, the genuine, like, it's just, it radically changed my heart.
Do you know, and when I pray with another believer, I will, you know, I mean, I believe clearly the scripture says you have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
With the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I mean, I believe all that. And I clearly believe in healing.
Yeah.
Not only have I been healed physically in my life, the greatest healing is the spiritual healing that is not going to be confined to this old flesh.
Right. The khaki carcass.
The khaki carcass. That's right. And I'm sure I heard a preacher say that years ago, and it really resonated with me because when I get riled up in my preaching, I promise you a khaki carcass is coming out. But and probably, you know, summer in Florida, I probably need to say this red khaki, you know, light hue purple garment. Where you messed me up.
Sorry.
Where was I going? I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, the word of faith.
Yeah.
You know, this word of faith. Oh, well, no, I'm going to maybe chant, or I have a method.
Yeah.
I have a method to ensure that God's going to do what I desire him to do. There's so many people that they have a hard time understanding God's will and your desire. And they want to put those two together. And they're going to say, well, I'm praying God's will, and I'm going to remind God. I just stop and say, we never have to remind God. And I'm not one of those that says you shouldn't pray scripture, but you should never use scripture as this is going to be a key that unlocks the door to Narnia.
Yeah.
But no, hey, Lord, if you never do a thing for me, the very fact that I can know you and be known by you, that's enough. That's enough. You know, I've heard guys pray this. I've prayed this myself in corporate prayer. Hey, God, if you never did another thing for us, the fact that you saved us, we'll spend the rest of our lives. As a matter of fact, we'll spend all eternity. We'll never be able to thank you enough for the salvation that has happened. And so I would say, again, a dangerous approach to take.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say something, I'm going to claim something, God is going to be beholden, and then God is going to produce and perform. And what happens is when people start believing and teaching that, we know we know that there will be times, probably more times than not, where that does not happen.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't have enough faith, or I guess God really doesn't love me, or I guess God doesn't care for me. And these guys, just the perfect example. And I would say for our listeners, the best way to examine where you are with that, man, approach your prayer life not as – a lot of folks immediately want to jump in, Polly want a cracker. Right. You know, hey, God, give me this. God, give me this. God, don't do this. God, give me this. You like my sayings? And instead, go into your prayer as, hey, Father, can I just, for my own good and for your glory, can I just spend some time telling you how great you are?
Yeah.
That you are, I can't even fathom how glorious you are.
Yeah.
And I think when we approach prayer that way, it kind of gets everything else in the right order.
Yeah.
Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't carry our concerns to him. He tells us to bring our burdens to him. And, you know, I think I'm a good father. We talked about it last week. Scripture says that you think you're a good father. You give your kids snakes and I give them eggs. I mean, I'm a really good father is what God's saying. And I mean, I know how I want my kids to come to me with their needs. I mean, God, I believe the same way. Hey, come to me. But it's not, I go to him, okay, God, now that I've told you, give it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're limited. We don't understand. Now, I can promise you, I know God's ultimate will.
Yeah.
Without question. His children will be with him for all glory in heaven where there will be no sin. And because there will be no sin, yes, there will be complete healing and no disease and no death. And all those are a result of living in a place where there is now no more sin. And try as hard as we may as followers of Christ, as long as we are here on this earth, we are never in a setting that is completely absent from what the Bible calls the effects of the curse.
Yeah.
Of sin, so that probably a little bit more than what you were wanting on that. So,
yeah, but it all ties in, you know. Again, just looking at the power of God, and you said it, the limitless nature of who He is. You know, so let me recap real quick because I want to get to like one statement that you made in the rest of our time. But you know, they wouldn't bow, so they were devoted. They wouldn't. Ben, we see the genuine faith. They wouldn't burn. So this is when they were cast into the fire. And you kind of gave the description of, you know, what scripture says that nothing on their body was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. You know, and you referenced the fact that they were tied up.
Mm.
They were tied up and
they were bound.
They were bound and they were, and then that burned up, yet their body didn't. And you said the thing that the king used for harm, God used to set them free.
Mm.
And I'm like,
man, I mean,
that was,
that's good preaching. Even
that's
if I said
great
it.
Preaching. Like I
don't even remember saying it, but I need to write that down.
I wrote it down for you.
Like, I'll text that one to Dr. Vines. Hey,
the
you
thing that God,
one.
That the king used for harm, God used to set them free. And if you think about the whole story, yes, like that. And then you think about our lives, like the thing that the king used for harm, God used to set him free.
We see it in the life of Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph comes to the end.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, hey brothers, you meant this to bring about harm. And here's what he's not saying. Oh boy, this was so wonderful. I'd love for you to do it to me again.
Yeah.
I promise you, he's in that pit. He's probably not having wonderful feelings of great things are going to happen. He's being sold into slavery. He's being imprisoned because of a false allegation by Potiphar's. Yeah. All those things. And then he finally comes to the end. And I think even for himself, his faith has grown and matured during this. And then he's like, and God worked this for good.
Yeah.
God worked this for good. Now, to me, a little bit different with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see where their faith is even before they go into the furnace.
Yeah.
Hey, we may burn up in there. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're not going to bow down and worship this big golden statue. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because if we burn, we're going to go be with him. We'll worship him in his very presence. And yeah, I would just say so many times as followers of Christ, our focus is so much on the fire.
Yeah.
Or so much maybe on the shackles or the binding. And, oh, my goodness. I mean, stop it. Not only were they in a fire, they were bound.
Yeah.
Their feet and hands were bound.
Yeah.
It wasn't, hey, they're going to hop out of here.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar looks and he sees four men walking around in the fire.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are happening that he's like, I can even see him shaking his head like, I don't even think I'm seeing this right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would agree with that. And I go back to a statement as well. Hey, these, you know, our focus tends to be so much, God, I don't want to be in the fire. God, I don't want to be in the fire. God, keep me out of the fire. God, if you really love me, I won't suffer. God, if you really love me, I'm always going to be healthy. And God, if you really love me, then I won't have to go to the furnace. Had these guys never gone to the fire,
yeah,
they wouldn't have been walking around with Jesus. Mm. Now, this is the theophany, right?
Yeah.
This is not the 33 years that Christ is here. He's already put on bodily form, and he's walking among. The disciples are with him, and, you know, hey, yeah, we'll go down there and see Jesus at the fig tree. Or, you know, no. Right. No, this was a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told you the Jewish scholars are like, well, we believe it's Gabriel. And, well, I'm going to go back to what the Bible records the king saying. Now, the king who does not know the one true living God, it had to be so overwhelming with the deity. Yeah. He's like, dude, that one right there looks like a son of God. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about the deliverance of God and about how God takes something that the world has intended to bring about harm. And man, we just keep trusting him. And again, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to face the fire. It just means he'll be right there in the midst with you and he'll walk you through it and you get to the other side. It may not be the next day. It may not be the next week. It may not even be for a few years.
Yeah.
But then you look back and you're like, my goodness, look at what God did.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like, you know, you yourself have gone through those moments. You know, like we've all gone through those moments where God has absolutely worked. And even your, you know, your last point. So what? Well, you know, you're strengthened in your commitment when you go through the fire. Mm. And the fact that you're not, you know, and you just said it, you're not alone in the fire. That's just so, so powerful, and just the unimaginable things that God can do in and through us.
Maybe our prayers should be, instead of, hey, God, keep me out of the fire, maybe our prayers should be, hey, God, help my trust to still be in you as I walk through the fire. Or, hey, God, in the fire, give me a glimpse of you.
Mm.
I want to see you in the fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the unchangeable truth. If you want to join us right here, Highland Park, on Sundays 9 and 10. Otherwise, join us online. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here in the Unchangeable Truth.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.